is The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on the new home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Well, let's bring in Ryan Wagman into this discussion. Writes for McKean's Hockey, and McKean's always one of the go-to sources for draft information with the June draft. Only, what, less than 6 weeks away at this point. I can't wait. Ryan, how are you today? Thanks for joining us on Sportsnet 650.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, no, it is an exciting time. I mean, draft season is the best season for many reasons. And, you know, we were sort of talking about Ryan Merkley as one of the most talented players in this year's draft, but there's been so many question marks about him, you know, when it comes to, is he coachable enough? Where do you come out on Ryan Merkley and ultimately the type of player we're looking at?
Well, I mean, if we look at Merkley just on the level of his skills, what he can do with the puck, you know, his offensive contributions to the game, he would be taken, you know, 10th, maybe 15th overall. But as you mentioned, there are some questions. Some of it would be, you know, the lack of, say, teamwork that he has. You know, he doesn't really use his teammates as well as some of the other players that would be going in that range do. Tries to do a lot on his own. And that, you know, it doesn't fit with the, you know, quote unquote hockey guy mentality. We saw somebody like Josh Hosang who fit that bill a few years ago. And even though Hosang does produce wherever he's gone, he has, you know, that stigma has been attached to him and he's had a hard time sticking with the Islanders. So Merkley, I think, like Hosang, although as a blue liner, has definitely the potential and the ability to play eventually in the NHL, but he might have a hard time getting his, you know, just rewards for his skills and what he contributes because of those factors that you mentioned.
Another defenseman who's a bit diminutive but has some potential is Rasmus Sandin. What do you think his upside is in general?
Well, you know, between the scouts that I work with at McKean's and myself, we see him as somebody who fits into a top four eventually. You know, he's not a super dynamic player like, you know, like a Rasmus Dahlin or a Quinn Hughes, Boakvist, Evan Bouchard, but he has enough, you know, between his skating and his really good hockey sense, he has enough there to get to a top four level within a few years. And he is a very interesting player, not just his size helps him kind of drop down, you know, in terms of his stature, I guess, from a public perspective, but also the fact that he started the year in Sweden and only came to North America after the year had begun kind of makes it harder to see what he brings to the table sometimes.
With Rasmus Sandin, though, is there any worry that maybe those numbers are a little bit inflated because he played on such a good Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds team this year?
Sure, and that's always a good question in terms of, you know, when you're playing on a team like that. But that kind of question or that issue can go both ways. If we look at his teammate, Barrett Hayton, who's also seen as a first-round pick and probably more of a lock to go in the first round than Sandin, Hayton's numbers are not as good as you would normally see from somebody being thought of as a top half of the draft player. And when you have a team that's that good, and not just that good, but that deep, that they have, I think, they had 10 players, I think, who are drafted or signed already to NHL deals, and another, you know, it's Sandin and Hayton, another few more who are on their way. You know, a tendency is for the younger guys to play further down the lineup and not get the same opportunities as their more, you know, experienced veteran teammates. So that kind of goes both ways with Sandin. I think with him, we see a bit of both ends that, you know, it could have inflated some of the numbers, but what he brings to the table, you can see that he is bringing. He's not just, you know, getting a lot of secondary assists. He's helping to drive play forward. So I don't think it should be a big impact on him.
If teams are looking for a defenseman and they want a guy with a little bit more size and maybe some upside, Mattias Samuelsson is an interesting one to come across. He obviously is with the National Team Development Program, a program that's actually had a lot of great graduates over the past number of years, including Oliver Wahlstrom, who will be a graduate of that in the first round this year. What do you make of Mattias Samuelsson and where you think he'll eventually be playing as an NHL defenseman and what kind of role he might have for himself?
Samuelsson's an interesting player and a bit divisive. And I've seen the national program a lot myself. And, you know, on some days he looks like somebody you would want to take in the 20s. And other days he looks more like somebody you want to take in the 40s. And a big factor for me in that, well, we'll probably rank him just outside of the first round in our final list, is the fact that he's not the greatest skater. Part of that has to do with the fact that guys that size rarely are, you know, dynamic skaters. But, you know, there are other players who have good enough size in the first round who are much better skaters. In fact, I would look at his national team line mate, or not line mate, but rather a blue line mate, Keandre Miller, as one such example, who's got really good size and he's a very good skater. He's a bit of a, you know, a stallion out there. He's a bit wild sometimes because he's newer to the position. He's not as polished as Matthias Samuelsson, but you can get guys who have that size and skate, and Samuelsson doesn't have that skating ability. That said, he's very smart. He's going to be, I think, very good positionally in his own zone. Uses his size well. He's not a horrible skater, but he's going to struggle against some of the faster players that you see more regularly in the NHL. So I personally see him as an early second round pick, you know, fitting in as a bottom pairing type of guy down the line.
We're talking NHL draft prospects with Ryan Wagman from McKean's Magazine right here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. And speaking of the defenseman in this year's draft, I mean, of course, Rasmus Dahlin is the number one prospect, but who do you view as the second best defenseman in this year's draft?
So that's a very good question. It's a very, you know, after the top three in the draft, and by three I'm talking Dahlin and then Svechnikov and Zadina, mm-hmm. there's kind of a lump of maybe 10 guys who could go in almost any order and it wouldn't be surprising. And in that 10 guys, you have a few blue liners, including Quinn Hughes from Michigan, who's right now playing for Team USA at the World Championships. You have Adam Boqvist from Sweden. You have Evan Bouchard from the London Knights in the OHL, and you have Noah Dobson from Acadie Bathurst, who will be playing next week in the Memorial Cup. All four of those guys have good things to offer, and they also have their relative warts as well. My personal favorite of that group is Quinn Hughes. I think he's more advanced. He can dominate a game in the second half of this season with Michigan, especially after the World Juniors. He took his game to another level, and it was almost every shift that he just dominated the shift. You know, the puck doesn't leave his stick until he's ready for it to leave his stick. And he does a lot of really fun things with it. Boqvist has similar upside, but also a lower floor in the sense that he doesn't have as much top-level experience, or that is experience playing with men. But his skating is second to none in this draft. Evan Bouchard is not as fast as those other two guys, but he's a great, great puck mover, both in terms of transitioning it from his own zone up to the offensive zone, as well as moving it around as kind of as a quarterback type in the offensive zone. And Dobson, to finish up that quartet, is kind of the most well-rounded of them. He's the biggest one of those four. You know, he plays a good physical game, but he's also a very good skater, also contributes a lot offensively, and he'll probably get a lot more recognition, you know, in the next week when he's on the national stage in Regina.
No, you're absolutely right. I think he's one of those guys that is very interesting to keep an eye on. And what I find fascinating is looking at the tiers in this year's draft. And, you know, I'm sort of with you. When I get outside the top three, there's like a group of 10 players, you know, all the way to 13 or 14, depending on how far you want to go. How wide do you think the third tier in this draft is outside of that top 13 range?
It's about 10 people deep. You know, you can make arguments for a bit more, but we've talked on a few of them, like, you know, like... like Oliver Wahlstrom was mentioned, and the four defensemen. I'd throw in Joel Farabee, another player from the national program, Barrett Hayton, Jesperi Kotkaniemi from Finland. I don't think I mentioned Joe Valeno.
No.
And there's one or two others whose names are escaping my lips right now, but it's about 10 deep, and there are arguments maybe for 12, but you know, it really wouldn't surprise me. Of course, Brody Tkachuk definitely is in that group. So there's about 10 guys that could go really in almost any order after that top three.
And, you know, looking at Joel Valeno, he's a guy that I am very fascinated about. Every time I watch him play, his skating really stands out. Great playmaker, smart player. What sort of upside do you think ultimately he could have? Can you see him being a player in the right situation in the NHL, producing more than expected?
I guess it depends what expected is, but I see a guy who fits in as, you know, what we would consider a good second line center. You know, there are scenarios where he could be on a first line playing with a few good snipers. But, you know, looking at like what we think of as a classic kind of role in a team system, he would be a good second line center. And you're right. He's a fantastic skater. He really is. He's very good with the puck, very smart, very mature game. He struggled early in the year before he was traded from St. John to Drummondville. But after the trade, he took off and he proved he's not just a playmaker, but he can score goals as well. So I think his upside is still untapped. I think there's more to give. I think, you know, he was, there's very few guys who got that exceptional player status in the CHL. Some of them end up being, you know, Connor McDavid and John Tavares, and some of them end up being Sean Day. I think he's closer to the Tavares McDavid end of things than Sean Day, but I don't think he's quite at that, you know, McDavid Tavares level, but he's very good. And I think he could, or should be in the top 12. But like I said, that second tier could go into 15. So really, anything in that top half of the draft wouldn't be surprising.
He's Ryan Wagman from McKeensHockey.com, just breaking down the NHL entry draft on the playbook. Sat and John on Sportsnet 650. Is Ty Smith maybe the last player in that particular tier of players that you guys have mentioned here in between 13, 14, and 15? Because he's also a smaller defenseman, a lot of offensive upside. But I guess the big question marks are his defensive game.
So I semi-agree with you, semi-don't. With Ty Smith, in our last update to the draft rankings, we had him in that range, but in our final list, which we're kind of finishing up as we speak, mm-hmm. and which will be released with our draft guide towards the beginning of June, I don't think he fits into that tier. I think he's in the next tier. And I say that is because he's had problems on the biggest stages, like his performance at the top prospect game, which is when you get a lot of other scouts in the rink who can will be there in the draft rooms creating arguments against the player, saw him. He was pretty bad in that top prospects game. At the World Under-18 Championships, he was okay, but he had very little offensive impact. I actually see Smith as being more of a defensive blue liner down the line. And it seems odd to see a guy that size to be a defensive blue liner, but there's, I think, more of an acceptance to that role these days. Thinking of a guy like Marco Scandella as an example. Mm. That's a role, I think he maybe has a bit more of an upside than Scandella. I think he's a better puck mover, but that's kind of more of the type, if you will, that I see for Smith's future. And so I think he would be, you know, in the late teens of the draft would be a good spot for him. I think he has some upside, but I'm actually more convinced that his defensive game is maybe the stronger or more mature part of his game.
We know that he loves initiating contact, which also helps him out in the defensive zone. But I don't think you're wrong. I was looking at Ty Smith's body of work this season, and his numbers, while impressive, they were kind of reminiscent and reminded me of Chris Russell back when he was with the Medicine Hat Tigers, put up a ton of points. I believe he had close to a 30-goal campaign, if I'm not mistaken. But when he got to the NHL, he had to change his game. The puck skills weren't there, but he became one of the best shot blockers we've seen in the modern history of hockey.
I think that's another good example of the smaller defenseman who is still being used in a defensive role. I would say Smith has better upside than Russell.
Right.
I don't want to downplay or downgrade Smith too much, but I think he's a better puck mover. But I think ultimately that's kind of the role that he would excel in most. A role where he can refine his defensive game a little bit more, and that will make him more ready to play, and then his offensive abilities will more slowly come out in the NHL level.
Ryan, a pleasure having you on the show today with us on Sportsnet 650. Really fun talking NHL draft, and let's get you on again soon, and we'll talk some more because there's so much to get into. We don't have enough time to basically go through the entire top 40 because I know there's a lot of good prospects in this year's draft.
Thank you. And I would advise anybody who is interested to check out our draft guide at McKeensHockey.com. That's McKeensHockey.com. It'll be on sale in a few weeks, and you can either get it with a subscription or on its own. And we pack a lot of information from all of our scouts across the world on that, and hopefully I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a great read, and we appreciate the work you guys do. Thanks so much, Ryan. Talking again soon. Sportsnet 650.